Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 601. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, just another week in paradise, so I am not really going to argue. It is so, I can't believe how easy it is to cram wrestling, honestly, at this point. There was a lot of easy cramming, but there is definitely one thing that, and I agree with your assessment pre-show, that the biggest story still has to be, weirdly enough, Retribution jobbing not once, but twice in the same segment. And the first jobbing was only bad until the second jobbing, which was even worse. I guess I started to wonder why Mustafa Ali did not get any type of airtime the previous week.
Oh, he got it all right after they lost and then got beat down single-handedly by the Fiend.
I believe the last time you and I spoke, we talked about a possible salvaging of this gimmick.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. That is out the window. That is currently out the window. Wow. Yeah, like, there's no real way to recover from that. Like, if they... Because it was T-Bar, if I'm not mistaken, who submitted to Bobby Lashley, correct?
Yes, the biggest one of them all.
Yeah, so...
Dijakovic, yes.
Yeah, if you had had Slapjack tap to him, Retribution has some excuses. Like, you can't have Mustafa Ali as the leader be the one tapping out. I mean, just throw that one out there, since he's probably the smallest of the crew. Because I was kind of surprised at how big Shane Thorne was. But, yeah, having the biggest guy tap out is just, like, that is such a red flag. You know, like, just Dio Madden seems to be unproven, so I guess I don't feel like there's any way they push him. And plus, they made T-Bar the, you know, like, the shortly-lived voice of Retribution. But the voice nonetheless. So, I mean, you'd kind of expect more out of him than, is it Mace?
Yeah, Mace.
Mace. So, yeah, like, even if you have Mace submit, there's a little bit of wiggle room there at least. But there is none when you have T-Bar, your biggest and most... terrifying member be the one tapping out to Bobby Lashley. I mean,
after all of these months, after all of that time, all those mind-numbingly bad segments with all the with all the worst parts of WWE production and the nonsensical nature of it, of all of it, that first time they actually showed their faces and they were all about 5'7" or less until they settle on the actual members. The breaking of one window at the performance center, turning a car over. No, but we never find out whose car that was. I guess it just didn't matter.
They lit a transformer on fire that was not near anything whatsoever.
Yeah. power went out just slightly before the generator kicked in. All of the shit they've done with this thing. And then, you know, putting Ali in, establishing that he's the leader, following up with putting them in the draft, which made absolutely no sense why anyone would pick them.
Oh.
And once again, after over 2 months of this shit, in their first real match together, they lose. When T-Bar, the biggest member of the group, taps out to a full Nelson. I don't know what to say. I guess I've said it quite a bit.
Hey, like, yeah, I mean, you went full context on it there. I went micro.
Just the amount of time that's gone into an idea that everyone said was a horrible idea from the start, and they pushed through, and they pushed through, and they pushed through, introduced an element that may have been able to save it, and then killed it off 2 weeks later, after not giving them any interview time last week.
Yeah, and him adding the failed hack, Mustafa, well, and that's even jumping ahead, I guess. So, yeah, the match happens. Then, and it didn't make sense why, honestly, they would pursue the Fiend to start with.
No, I mean, they randomly attack anybody. I kind of get that, but there's no payoff here. I don't believe we're going to get the Fiend versus any member of Retribution. I'll be damned if anyone's going to care about the Fiend versus any member of Retribution after this.
Yeah. I mean, certainly not Ali. You know, I mean, I guess he still has the most visibility within Retribution, but yeah, I mean, you just look, I mean, it just looks so bad. Like, there is just no way to cut it. It looks terrible. It got to that point of no return with this whole thing, honestly. Because, yeah, having them lose 1-on-4, and honestly, it didn't help either that Alexa Bliss cleans Mia Yim's clock, and I still can't remember what her Retribution name is, so.
I don't remember Alexa Bliss touching Mia Yim.
Oh, did they not have anything go down?
No, they did not at all.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, Mia Yim just disappears because there's nothing for her to do when the men are fighting.
Oh, okay.
That's why is she even there? Oh, this whole thing has been a disaster. Other than when with the addition of Ali, may have breathed some life into it, and they just.
Well, the second they breathe life into it, they, held their hands and pooped in their mouth. I mean, I guess I just don't even get, like, that is one of those, like, you're just really killing everyone here, guys. Like, it's better to be... if they just would have disappeared and come back as all different gimmicks, they would have been better off than what just happened. Do you think? Like, I mean...
Yeah, I absolutely... Well, I mean, that's what's going to have to happen now. They're going to have... Then why even have Ali cut that promo...
Oh.
It's the promo. You tell it in his heart. He's wanted to on television say the line this company couldn't find a way to monetize someone named Mustafa Ali.
Oh, right.
You know, that's what he's wanted to say. He's wanted to say that for, you know, a year now at least. And it's his promo is, you know, masked with this stench of failure from, you know, what happened earlier. And all of the other stupid stuff that they did with Retribution that didn't work along the way.
And
Ali's the one who doesn't. And Ali's the one who's not hiding behind a mask either. And it had already been just tossed aside, and not featured at all.
Yeah,
he's the one who could get hurt the most by this.
Yeah, he has really gotten the short end of the stick ever since he got injured to create Kofi Mania.
Yes.
You know, like, because I do not believe that he's had, because I don't, from what I remember, that was not a long-term injury, and then he's been fine the rest of the time. You know,
he's had no injury issues. It has been purely creative, haven't it? You know, the old line, creative has nothing for him.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's so weird that they got to the point that they want to put him in Hell in a Cell and kind of at least feature him in it, I think, was kind of the plan, if I'm not... I feel like that was floated out there originally, but maybe that part's just rumor. But yeah, I mean, they at least... not Hell in a Cell. What is that? Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Is what he would have been in. I think I said the wrong thing earlier. I don't know how you go from, you know, that level of you're at least participating in the main event to we have nothing for you, like, on a short-term injury. Like, it's just like, huh? Like, I guess, how do you lose faith in someone that quickly? You know, yeah, there's always so many questions that never end up really getting answered, but it's also a reason that I guess I definitely see more people jumping ship from WWE when their contracts are up if this type of shit keeps on happening to them in particular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could certainly see it, especially if WWE's not going to be throwing money at people because they already let go of a bunch of people who are on contracts that they deem more than they were worth, since they're less afraid of AEW. Now, AEW can't pick up everybody, as we've seen.
Oh.
They've only full time, it appears, picked up Miro. Everyone else has ended up in Impact.
Oh, for the most part. Yeah.
Which I guess is a paying gig, and they can still do whatever independent shows are out there as well. But yeah, no, I could see people wanting to get out, and maybe once, you know, things open up more, there will be better options. But yeah, no, there's a number of people who would absolutely be better off elsewhere. And Mustafa Ali certainly is near or right at the top. He's somewhere above or below Ricochet.
Yeah, like, at this point, like, unless, I mean, the only thing that at this point would honestly salvage it is if Retribution did just go on a complete and utter domination streak. But I mean, that is, I do not see that happening. Like, the WWE just does not grant that to many groups and or people. And I don't see them being granted that. So I guess that's the other reason why I'm like, yeah, this gimmick is just done, man. I that's the only comeback, and I don't see that happening. Like, this wouldn't have happened if they were going to go on a massive win streak.
Not at all. That cannot be in the plans. And it can't. And if they. I don't know if that would work. No. I mean, there's no. There's no coming back from what happened last night. There really isn't. Not that I can see that would actually work. I mean, I guess they could try. But people were already not on board with Retribution for months.
It was really, they made it hard. They made it near impossible to invest in them. Like, I guess I'm okay if you want to go the Antifa route, but have them do some, at least more, some bigger destruction spots. Just for, like, I mean, they just needed to do better from the jump. Like, I'm okay with the nameless, faceless horde to start with. But then, and this was the other thing that we talked about. We kind of talked about how unwieldy large that group is. And it's still really big. Like, even though they've cut it down to five people is a lot in a group. Like, I don't know what it is with wrestling, but yeah, you get beyond that four number and things just get sketchy. And yeah, like Mia Yim not being around for that whole segment, I guess, makes it even weirder. Like you said, like they thrived on, having the extra person all the time. Why would you send someone valuable off like that?
Yeah,
Like,
there's.
it doesn't even fit their MO to have her leave.
I agree. It's just the idea that if no other women are involved, she has no one to fight.
Ah, man. Just brutal. That's, yeah, I feel bad for everyone involved in that angle. Not named the Hurt Business or the Fiend. Like, those guys are fine, obviously. Like, but Retribution is just, yeah, they're wrecked, man. That definitely really stuck out among a kind of ho-hum week, would you say? Of WWE TV shows.
I'd say.
Like, I guess the other thing that was kind of weird was that I felt like both shows this week still had the mixed roster vibe to them, even though they were trying to feature the new people on the roster. Did you kind of feel that way in general about the shows?
Yeah, no, they are. They may. They. Well, let's see. Well, that's right. The New Day said had their farewell. Braun Strowman had his last appearance on SmackDown. Then on Raw, the Riot Squad showed up for absolutely no reason. And they at least tried to give Otis an out, a goofy, funny out for why he was there. Other than that, I don't think anyone else from SmackDown has showed up. But still, yes, there's too much crossover immediately after the draft.
It was a little weird to me to kind of keep the the mixed roster thing going for another week. I guess other than that, I guess it was kind of interesting that it would seem that AJ Styles has gotten a new, would you call him a bodyguard?
I guess I would absolutely call him a bodyguard, yes.
He was left unnamed in the segment. There are multiple versions of Big Guy said, which kind of cracked me up left and right, or this large human. Like, the way they kept on describing it always seemed odd to me. Especially since, like, I don't even feel like they questioned what the guy's name was. Like, I always feel like someone asked that question. And I don't remember any of the announcers asking who it was, even. They just kept on calling him a large human being, which was just such a weird way to word that. But I guess this is kind of an interesting way to spice up AJ Styles here on Raw. Do you think he needed some spicing?
It won't hurt. I think AJ Styles has been basically doing the same thing for his entire WWE career, and which is going on 5 years now. So yeah, no, it adds something new to the mix for him. So it gives him a bodyguard, or you know, or a heater to interfere in his matches and add the bit of intimidation factor that, well, AJ Styles could never fully achieve on his own.
It did kind of crack me up that I jokingly said that AJ Styles could come back to Raw because he got rid of the baggage. But, He lost Gallows and Anderson, but he got this guy now. And I got an odd feeling that he's going to be treated better than Gallows and Anderson ever were. although I guess they did win the tag team championship, so it wasn't all terrible. And they seemed to be okay with the pay. What other fun stuff happened on Raw? Oh, man. Lana is just not good at wrestling. Do I need to go any further than that? Do you need to pile on? Should I just keep on moving?
No. She is not very good. And she never will be. At this point, her being Samoan dropped through that table every single week at this point, that is just their way of getting back at Miro for joining AEW, even though they fucked him. There's no other reason for it.
I'm not gonna say that he's better off there because who doggies that gimmick.
Well, I didn't say he was either.
Oof. But anywho. Lana is taking a beating for her husband. And I guess good on her. At least she's on TV, so there's that. Cause Liv and Ruby were on for the four-way tag match. And the amount of people just within this match that we broke up Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville so that we could get Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. And we broke up the Iconics so that we could get Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce. This was two of the I guess I continue to think Mandy and Dana is an odd pairing. I really hope they haven't given up as on Peyton Royce as a singles wrestler already.
Yeah, that's
That is an
that was
embarrassingly
absolutely
short time
ridiculous.
to give her a chance.
No, they gave her absolutely no chance. It made no sense what they did. You know, they had Lee and Peyton wrestle each other for no reason. Then Peyton, which Peyton fully turned heel. Then the next week, they thought they had a workaround by keeping Billie Kay out of the ring and in Peyton Royce's corner during her singles matches, which maybe could have actually worked. Then they wrestled each other on an episode of Main Event, I believe, and followed that up with just moving Billie Kay over to SmackDown. And now Peyton Royce, at least for 1 week, is teaming with Lacey Evans. I'm not sure if they have too little in common or if they have too much in common. I honestly, it's just like, it just whatever it is, it doesn't work. They Lacey took the pinfall there, took the fall during that match. So hopefully that team is not a regular thing at all for Peyton Royce's sake.
She does not deserve that. So what the oh. I've got to admit, the Elias gig, probably one of his better gigs.
It was absolutely his best thing he ever did. It was absolutely too good. Really, if he's gonna stay a heel, it was too good. Which I don't understand why they brought him back as a heel if they really want to market his music at this point to that degree. And if he really has, you know, for the first time they gave him a band, he seems like he's used his time off to really improve not his guitar playing but his vocals. They might have something here, but it's not as a heel wrestler.
That's kind of a weird spot because and I mean he did say I love none of you. So I
It was
mean
a
they're
weird thing
definitely
that they
trying
did.
to run him as a heel.
It was try too hard. It was just like, go with this. Especially if you're releasing an album next week.
It makes way more sense for him to be a face if you're trying to sell records.
Once again, another thing that makes absolutely no sense. It's just like, why? It's either why is he a heel, or why is he on TV being so good?
It is a valid question that I do not have an answer to.
Yeah. I mean, people. What am I talking? I mean, it's completely can noise that we're hearing. So I'm about to say, well, no one's gonna boo Jeff Hardy. I'm like, well, no one's gonna. They're, no one's actually booing or cheering anybody audibly.
The best you can do is go by their physical reaction, I suppose. I have like the number of people bringing out the old thumbs down. when they don't like something.
Although, my God, when they put the legends on screen, boy, does that become Ric Flair in particular was really distracting during the Braun Strowman Keith Lee match. I mean, you're just. I get what they're doing, but it really becomes distracting. Because you really do just focus on that one square.
Yeah.
Just to see everything that this person is doing.
Well, and I found myself doing that too, because I think it was during the Strowman Roman Reigns match on SmackDown. Goldberg and Keith Lee were beside each other on screens. And I'm like, I can't look away. Like, I'm not paying attention to the match at all here, guys. Like, I'm just kind of watching their reaction to what's going on. Yeah, so I guess I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I understand the idea, but it is kind of distracting to have someone like that in the crowd.
Especially someone like Flair, because it's like, you know, he's a 72-year-old man, you know, who's, you know, probably using this technology for the first time in his life. It's just like, what's he gonna do? You know, is he gonna fall asleep? Is he gonna pick his nose? is he gonna do something funny, or is he gonna do something funny? Not realizing he's still on camera.
Oh man, yeah. God forbid something bad happens to him in the middle of it.
Oh no! Come on, why'd you have to put that out?
Yeah, there's a lot that could go wrong with having Ric Flair do that, but I would hope that he has he had some help with a walkthrough setup type of situation. So I hope he has someone techie enough in his house or around his house that he doesn't really have to be. I hope he's not worrying about the coax cord in his own house. There is a lot that could go wrong there. Were you a fan of what was his name there? On Raw. El Gran Gordo.
You know what? I thought it was funny. it was a good little bit. Once again, no idea how they can pay off this this Money in the Bank story, Money in the Bank lawsuit storyline. But if it got Tucker and El Gran Gordo a win over Miz and Morrison. So that was good. You know, Otis is funny. When he said, "Si, Señor Tucker," I laughed both times. It was fine.
He's a great comedy guy, and I don't know if that's the problem that the WWE is realizing to themselves, like, oh, this guy's going to be around here for ages, but we can't have him be the top guy.
Yeah, I mean, they acknowledge the problem in Miz's promo. So that's kind of interesting that they know what the issue is with Otis. and they're making it the storyline now. Of course, the only way for it to pay off is for him to actually cash in Money in the Bank and win the title. Which I don't see that in the cards either, in the cards though.
Yeah, him taking it off of Roman Reigns and or Drew McIntyre seems far-fetched at best. Like, I don't feel like You could always feel it coming when someone won the title. And yeah, you just do not feel it coming for Otis at all. And it's not really his fault that they chose him, but you know, I guess this is just another one of those classic, yep, the WWE did not have a plan in mind when they had him win. Obviously, they had a plan in mind for Asuka in her her version of the match, or yeah, on her half of the match. I guess since it both took place at the same time, it's one match.
I believe so. Yeah,
and they each won one half of the match. yeah.
In retrospect, Otis should have beaten Braun Strowman and been the one to lose to Roman Reigns.
Oh.
Just get it done. Get it over with and have Roman Reigns destroy a lovable babyface instead of these two monsters that everyone's kind of sick and tired of them wrestling each other.
Yes. Yeah. That definitely would have been a better way to go about things. But no, they chose not to do that, and now it's too late for him. Like, there's nowhere for him to well, I mean, I don't know if he was going to go anywhere to start with, but you know, yeah, again, they're just positioning a lot of people poorly. And, yeah, this is one of those episodes where we're pointing that out. you know, I definitely think that he has a utility and that he'll have a popularity for a long time. But I don't know why they thought main event material, I guess, at any point.
I mean, he got really popular during the whole
Mandy Rose
saga. He did. There was something there. And as I said, in retrospect, you know, he probably should have cashed in one and then been the one to lose the Roman Reigns. But they didn't do that. You know, circumstances dictated that he was off TV for a fairly long amount of time during the summer. And he never was able to regain his momentum. Now, once again, if that momentum was carried him to a serious title reign and sustained main event run, probably not. But it could have been more.
It could have been a little more than that. I guess, do you think that New Day got their proper send-off on SmackDown?
Yeah, I know. The send-off for New Day was nice. It was good. It was a good way for them to go out. They didn't, you know, they went out with a win. They got to have their final speech. No, it was a good way to, it was certainly a good way to send them off. And back over on Raw, pleasantly surprised that Kofi got a singles win over Sheamus.
I was pleasantly surprised too. I kind of expected Sheamus to take that one, but they are hopefully going to give. And I mean, it makes sense. Like, I think we talked about it last week, where they just don't have even a lot of tag teams in reserve in the WWE right now. So it makes sense to let New Day stay strong for the time being here. To if you want to keep around the tag division at all. So yeah, good way for them to start things off in their new era. We'll just have to see how Big E fares moving forward. But he did not have much much to do there. Daniel Bryan is back on SmackDown. Your thoughts on his return?
You know what? It was fine. It was interesting to see him interacting with Seth Rollins. Made me wonder what actually is next for Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy and the Mysterios. It looked like both they were continuing it and they were transitioning Seth to something else. And I'm not sure exactly which way they're going to go. I think most likely it's going to continue and Daniel Bryan's going to do something else. So if that's the case, then they brought Daniel Bryan back without any kind of plan of what to do with him. And it was just a one-night segment.
Yeah. Yep, it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens with him, I guess. Because, yeah, I don't think he'd become entangled in the feud, and I get, yeah, because, I mean, there's no reason to be in this feud, but it's so, this, yeah, the Rollins slash Murphy and Mysterios feud has been going on so long, it's like, how do you drop it now? Like, it just seems like it's always going to be.
I don't know how you drop it, and I don't know how you pay it off either. It's in this weird limbo.
Yeah, because, I mean, they've done so much that like, any type of payoff is going to feel hollow in some way. Like, because, yeah, if it's the worst case scenario and Buddy Murphy wants to be dating Aaliyah, like, there is no reason for Ray and Dominic to like him still. Like, maybe even less than when he was on Seth Rollins' actual side. It's all weird and tangled and yeah, I don't know how they're going to resolve that properly. I guess it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing there.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see how they get themselves out of this.
Well, I think the last big thing to talk about to me would be Bayley and Sasha having their contract signing. This
standard contract signing fair until the point where, you know, Bayley never signed the contract, which I don't know exactly where that can go. Because they just did with Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and The Fiend, the whole someone doesn't sign the contract into the last minute bit. They literally just did that. So hopefully it's, resolved on Friday. You know, maybe Bayley demands some extra stipulations at the match. I don't know what exactly they would be, but something about Sasha not getting a rematch or having to leave and go to Raw or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I what I would guess. Something along those lines so that, you know, there's higher stakes heading into the match.
Yeah, that something like that would make a level of sense. I always think it's kind of weird when they throw in an extra violence gimmick inside a Hell in a Cell. It's like, well, you're kind of in, you can do anything anyway, so why do we really need to introduce more chairs to this whole situation? Like, is it that big of a deal? Yeah, that that could be pretty interesting to see what Bailey comes up with. And I do hope that I'm with you that I'd rather that thing get resolved sooner rather than later. There's no reason to pull the Roman Reigns sign it at ringside shtick that, as you correctly pointed out, just happened. Like, multiple people don't need to be doing that at all.
No.
Just
like I am in all of wrestling, I am really tired of double champions. You know, we just got out of a storyline where the women's tag team champions were feuding. Well, first of all, the women's tag team champions already had one of the singles titles, you know, to start with.
Oh.
And then they went after the other singles champion and also got that too, which is fine for what it was.
Right.
And it all paid off and, you know,
yeah,
but
it worked out.
We're going to have Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax targeting Asuka. And we're going to have a series of matches that will either end with Asuka and a partner winning the tag team titles so that Asuka can be a double champion, or one of Shayna or Nia is going to be a women's champion while also being tag team champions. I'm over it, man. I'm over it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be something special to be able to do the double champ thing. And if you just immediately start handing that award out like candy, as much as I love Asuka, I don't want her to have that distinction, you know? At least not right now. It would have made sense if Kairi Sane was still around. There is not a whole lot of reason to call Io Shirai up just to have her be in a tag team with Asuka. I mean,
I'm thinking Asuka's partner ends up being Charlotte Flair. Because we had the Nia Jax attack that, you know, was the official storyline reason for Charlotte being off all this time.
Yeah. That would make a great deal of sense. But yeah, then you have the tag team titles on Asuka and Charlotte Flair, who are both essentially at this point world beaters as far as the women's division goes. You know, I don't know how many peers they really have other than each other.
You're right. No, and maybe I wouldn't mind it if we didn't just do this. You know, once again, much like the contract signing thing.
Yeah, you gotta let these things breathe a little bit, is what you're saying. These angles are okay to reuse, but when you're reusing them less than 6 months apart, let's say, it's a little too soon. I'm with you there. I am with you. Anything else in the world of WWE worth covering before we mosey on out of here?
Just, I guess, the finish of SmackDown with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. That, I liked it. It showed that Jey is, you know, ready to, you know, fight Roman Reigns, fight his cousin, and he knows what he's in for this time. But I guess where I didn't like it, I guess for 1 week, since we know Jay's not winning the title. and of course, they're still frying. But Jay really could have, they could have ended that with Jey Uso on top.
Yeah, he needs some type of little push to have any level of convincing me, and I would guess a whole lot of other viewers, that he has a chance at Hell in a Cell against Roman Reigns. Like, that last beatdown was such a beatdown. He needs to, like you said, he needs to go out on top at some point. Or even if he gives Roman Reigns one of those, he's giving him something to think about kind of moments. Where maybe they kind of play off as even and Reigns, like, just decides to go to the back. Even an even spot would probably help out immensely for him, but that was not happening this past week. And I was gonna say, do they have time for it? Is Hell in a Cell this weekend?
Yeah, it's Sunday.
Okay.
So yeah, there's still one more episode of SmackDown yet.
Yeah, so I guess they have this Friday to try and see if they can convince us that Jay has a chance. But yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a chance, so whatever.
Yeah, it's the journey to get there, and yeah. Now that it's an I Quit match, you know, Jimmy can't throw in the towel, the referee can't stop it. I know they've done some silly workarounds to the whole I Quit stipulation in the past. But oh. I think in this one, they got to do it right.
Yeah, they've really kind of fleshed out the the other usual excuses. You know, I think the two that you just named there, the other usual, you know, someone passes out, so they say they didn't quit, but because they didn't respond to a 10 count, they counted them out or something. And, someone else throwing in a towel occasionally is the way to... Those really are the two main ways to get around that. And, you've taken those off the table, so someone's going down, and it ain't Roman Reigns. Have a good showing, Jay. But it was nice knowing you.
That's going to be the story of the match, just... how brutal Roman Reigns is going to have to be to get his proud cousin to say the words "I quit," not just beat him down, we know that Roman Reigns is superior to Jey Uso, but he's got to make him say "I quit." So I guess that's the drama. It's certainly unorthodox. I don't know if we've ever had a title match with a story like this before, but as a thing to do through the fall, as we're introducing heel Roman Reigns, it's been really good. It's been a good, unorthodox storyline where they pull someone from. Well, he was in obscurity for months and months.
Tag team right.
Wrestler was in obscurity for months and months, and now putting him in the main event of two pay-per-views in a row.
I guess I hope for Jay that he does get a chance to run as a singles wrestler. Like, I think he's proven that. I guess I never really thought that much on who had the better mic skills or anything, because I guess I just thought that they were both good. I guess that is something handy for them. I do feel like one or the other has been injured numerous times, and that's taken both of them off TV. Like, I guess I just hope for his sake, like, I think he's acquitted himself well both in the ring and on the mic as a singles guy to at least get some, mid-card-y type opportunities. Maybe he ends up, I have no idea whether it's the Intercontinental belt or the U.S. belt that's on SmackDown these days. But, have him go after one of those after this whole thing's done. And I think that would be a pretty fun way to go with him. If they really wanted to get behind him.
Yeah, no, I agree completely.
So, Okie dokie, man. I think that's a good one then. I think that's a wrap. So I will talk a little Beltane beer. I had my brother deliver me some beer from Pittsburgh. It came by way of his in-laws, and they ended up giving me a few extra beers when I went to pick up the beers that I actually purchased with money. This one happens to be BrewDog's Elvis Juice. I have talked about it before. It is their fruited IPA. It is very grape fruity. It's very tasty, and it's also very available around a lot of parts of this country. So keep your eyes out, peeled for it, grandkids. I think it's a more accessible choice than some of the ones that I name. Even if it is actually brewed here in Columbus, it's more widely available. So that's it. I'm at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you can. That would be great and fantastic. Thank you very much, and have a good night.
Later.